Well, hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harland. I am your co-host, Brian Brown. We are coming to you as always from high atop the Lifeway Tower, downtown Music City in the beautiful B.B. McKinney Studios.
And can you believe it? It's summer.
It is warm outside. It's baseball season.
Baseball is upon us.
It's in the air.
And you know what? Here's a great thing about our new location.
Yes.
Here at Lifeway headquarters. We are about six blocks from the AAA affiliate for the Texas Rangers.
The Nashville Sounds. Yes.
So my question for you, Brian, is why aren't we over there?
We need a live podcast from the sound stage.
You know what?
We can work that
we
out.
We could take our podcast gear to the right field, bleacher burn. And
yes.
We could do play-by-play. Do you think anybody would listen to it?
They might. We would have a great time regardless of that. But, Mike, we're not here to talk about the Sounds, the great AAA franchise from Nashville.
For the Texas Rangers.
We're here to talk about ministry transitions. And speaking of Texas Rangers, when you came to Lifeway, Mike, you came from First Baptist Carrollton.
I did.
And there
is your... And we were big Rangers fans.
Yeah,
we loved going to the Rangers game. And I'm really sad that this year... the ballpark at Arlington, which is what it was called when we lived there.
Closing it down.
This is the last season of that ballpark. And
I want
to tell
it.
You, in my humble opinion,
yeah.
which, of course, I highly regard.
Highly regard, yes.
I've been to a lot of baseball stadiums.
Yes.
Some people call those mission tours, but I always call them baseball stadiums.
Right.
The ballpark at Arlington, I think, was the most classically authentic Major League Baseball park we had in the system, and they're tearing it down after this season with a brand, and they've got a brand new.
My favorite part of that park, of course, was the view of Cowboy Stadium right across the parking
Thank you,
lot.
Brian.
Yeah,
Thank
that's
you, Brian.
The reason I like
okay.
to go. Yeah. But we have a special guest today, Mike, who's involved in ministry transition. I'm a preacher's kid, and you were been on ministry staff your whole life, and we know a lot about ministry transition. We got a special guest today that's just been through that with his family, and God's led him to a new place. And so, introduce our guest, and let's
talk. We've got about 12 topics we could talk about with this guy, but he doesn't have
that
much time.
At least.
We are with our friend Cliff Duren, the great songwriter, arranger, orchestrator that has done so much. I don't know anybody that's been more prolific for Lifeway Worship in the last 7 or 8 years than Cliff Duren.
Yeah,
Cliff is here with us because Cliff has just gone through, I guess maybe we should say, Cliff, you are going through a ministry transition. So let's talk about that. So we'll just tell people that are going, what, Cliff Duren has moved? Well, yeah. He was at the church at Station Hill, which is a wonderful campus, wonderful people that are part of the Brentwood Baptist Church family. The great Jay Strother. I love Jay Strother. I'm going to try to talk you into going back as we talk about this. But a great church. You weren't unhappy there. You loved it there.
No,
God was blessing.
It.
The church was growing. And yet you were asked to pray about something, and you did. And now you've returned to First Baptist Woodstock, Georgia.
That's right. It's official.
I mean, that's amazing to me. And it's one of those things that as I begin to hear about this possibility, it made sense to me. You know, not to say that your work at Station Hill felt like it was over. It didn't feel like it was over at all. But Woodstock was a place you had been before.
Absolutely. That church raised me. April and I are not from there, but we feel like we are. Like, a lot of that feels like home because we feel like we grew up there in the ministry, going there in our mid-20s and serving as an associate to Scott White, who is my music ministry dad. I mean, that guy, he taught me how to be a worship pastor.
Well, and what a great lesson that is. What a great teacher. From Scott White is a guy that I've known for many years. We were close friends, are close friends. And as the great pastor of First Woodstock, Johnny Hunt, was making a transition to now at the North American Mission Board, he had been the pastor of Woodstock for 35 years. And talking about a dynamic ministry, First Woodstock, Georgia, of course, Atlanta has moved. Well, if you're in Georgia, you're outside of Atlanta.
Part of the suburbs.
If you're anywhere in the state, you're outside. I get tickled when people from Georgia, where are you from? Well, I'm just outside of Atlanta. Well, that could be anywhere from Macon all the way.
They could be in Warner Robins.
Just outside of Atlanta. But Woodstock, that north of Atlanta, certainly as Atlanta has grown that way. But golly, when Johnny Hunt went to First Baptist Woodstock 35 years ago, it was a county seat, small First Baptist church, wasn't it?
200 people.
200 people. And now it's this amazing ministry, and not just what has happened there on that corner in Woodstock. But when I think about the sending aspect of that ministry and Johnny's intentionality about training up pastors
with Timothy and Barnabas
and the restoration ministry that Johnny has had all these years, in a very similar way, Scott White's been one of those guys that has been developing people. And so a church that has not just existed for itself, but a church that's really been a church with kingdom impact way beyond the walls of that church. You're one of their sons, and now they've asked you to come back and be one of their fathers. So you're getting old, what that means.
That's exactly what it means in this 40th year of my life. That's exactly what it means.
So let's unpack this a little. Virtually everybody listening to this podcast has been through at least some transition in ministry. But boy, you're about to go through a big transition in ministry. So I guess maybe a good place to start would be, how do you know, or how did you know, as because everything's going great at Station Hill, that church is growing, you've got a wonderful pastor that you're in strong partnership in ministry, who will be your great friend the rest of your lives.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure y'all will work together in different ways from now on. That's one of the beautiful things about ministry transitions. You don't really lose friends. You lose contact with people, but you carry the relationships, especially those people you've done ministry with. They never really go away, and that's beautiful. But what are the first inklings in your spirit, not just this time, but any time, when you have felt a change coming? Because you had to leave a church to come to Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit from your perspective. What are those early indicators that God may be stirring something here? He may be about to do something. Can you talk about that a little?
Absolutely. You know, for me, and you're right, I mean, when we left First Woodstock, this situation is so similar, because we loved what we were doing, loved being at First Woodstock, and loved that ministry. And then all of a sudden, you know, you just sense this little bit of restlessness, you know, and it usually happens when a phone call comes or when an opportunity presents itself, and you say, I think I might always have a little heartache if I didn't look into that, if I didn't pray about that. You just, and some, that's the only way I can really explain it. You might always say, what if, you know, and so, I think when any opportunity comes, it's always a good idea. I cannot assume that I just know God's perfect will for my life without asking Him. And so I think it's always a good thing to take these open doors and these opportunities to the Lord. And so this being a call to come back home, so to speak, I knew I had to pay attention to it. And I knew, you know, immediately that church had poured too much into me for me to not at least...
Yeah, you're kind of hitting on something that always has been a standard for me. There are still, even at my age, there are a handful of people in my life that if they called and asked me to pray about something, yes, couldn't get out of my mouth fast enough. And it's not because I'm restless necessarily, you mentioned that word, or it's not because I'm bored or I want to think about something. It's because of who they are in my life.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if that I have such trust, such high regard, such respect, that I could not ignore that kind of request from someone like that, just to honor that person or the respect that person. But let's go back to this word you use, restless. That it's not a word that means frustrated.
No, not at all.
It's not a word that means you're facing opposition or you've hit a wall or anything like that. So let's talk about that word just a little bit. What is it? What is it to feel a little bit restless, a little bit suspicious when an opportunity presents itself?
Yeah, you know, there have been calls along the way, and I really do. If somebody asks me to pray about something, then I want to pray about it. You know, if an opportunity comes and the call is, hey, would you pray about this? Absolutely. And most of the time that is, man, I'll give it couple of days, pray about it, and respond quickly, not to leave people on hold. But you know, when this call comes, there's obviously an immediate tie there, and you know, I can tell just in my time with the Lord It heightens your senses in your quiet time. When you're reading God's word. I mean, we, for instance, when I was the day I was driving down to meet with Jeremy Morton, the pastor, April and I were going to meet he and his wife, and like my devotion that morning is a burning bush text from Exodus. I mean, I'm just paying attention to things like that, you know, and God's timing. I mean, he uses those things to to speak to us. And so April, the same thing. Obviously, communication with your spouse is like, you know, second to communication with the Lord in these situations. It was just a daily dialogue, like, okay, is the Lord saying anything to you today, speaking to you? You know, it's the position is one God's calling you to, but man, you know, man,
it's a partnership.
Partnership and ministry. And so,
no question.
Why would I think anything different than the Lord, while he's speaking to me, would be speaking to April as well?
Yeah. And I tell you something, I learned to pray years ago in these kind of opportunities. And by the way, it's very likely that the people listening to us, and I know it's true in our lives, and Brian, in your life and your dad's life, we're always going to have more opportunity than we could ever completely fulfill.
Yeah.
So we've got to learn how to say no to things, too. This isn't just about discerning when the yes is. We have to learn how to say no because, I mean, I think back over the years, there are a lot of places that called, that first call. If I took that as being God's will, I could have made some major mistakes
along
the way.
Yeah.
So opportunity by itself doesn't mean sovereignties at work here.
Absolutely. Or convenience.
Even convenience.
Just the fact that, it seems easy. And like you talked about, Station Hill, man, that place, I love those people and love that ministry.
They love you too.
But I have often said to people in these conversations, I never want to leave anywhere because I'm unhappy.
Sure.
And I don't think that's the Lord's plan. You know, no. I mean, I really think if we're walking with the Lord, he's going to open a door and give us an opportunity.
Yep.
And it ought to be bittersweet. We ought to be, you know, sad to leave, but knowing it's God's will. And
yep.
And that helps you leave well. I mean, to look back and to have an opportunity to circle back to a church that I've already served, and to see God's hand in that and the impact of leaving well and leaving with relationships intact and with respect intact and all of those things.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to build on something you said just a second ago. Early on in my ministry, I learned, when an opportunity presented itself to involve Teresa ASAP, if not at the same time when I'm becoming aware, but she's the first person I talked to about this. And I would begin to pray, God, show me, but I would also equally pray, God, show her. God, would you show Teresa what's in front of us here and give her a sense of direction about this? That's not to say that I was defaulting to her being the leader in this decision.
Sure.
But it was a recognition that I couldn't make a great decision that would violate her sense of what God was doing in our life and what God's direction for us was. And I was grateful that and by the way, you've got to have a healthy relationship that you need to nurture every day.
Absolutely.
You can't not have a healthy dialogue about ministry with your wife and then all of a sudden one day say, I need you to pray about where we're going. I mean, it's an ongoing relationship that's got to be healthy. That's another podcast. But in the context of a healthy relationship and a real partnership the way you and April have, I've seen that so much. Y'all do ministry together musically, but way beyond that, spiritually, it's so obvious that y'all are in this together. And your kids coming along and they're in it with you. But man, if I felt like God was doing something and Teresa was waving this giant red flag saying I don't have a peace about this, it would cause me to slam the brakes on.
Oh yeah,
full bore. And you probably would feel that same way, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And that's the cool thing, in a marriage. Like even if let's say this hadn't been a thing. The opportunity came, but it wasn't God's plan.
Sure.
I'd be grateful for it because these kinds of experiences just bring you closer to your spouse. Like
they
you walk through a journey like that even a difficult journey. Well, you look back and say, man, look how close, look how much closer God brought us together and closer to him as a result. Yeah. So,
And you're about, you know, and the same thing can happen, you know, as you with your kids and as you as a family make a move like this together.
Hey, this is Brian Brown from the Worship Life Podcast, and I just wanted to let you know that Lifeway Music is now available through all of your favorite streaming platforms. You can find us on Spotify, Pandora, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, Napster, Apple Music, SoundCloud. Wherever you're streaming music, you're going to find Lifeway Worship content. We've got everything from scripture songs to top 100 worship songs. So if you go on any of those platforms and just search for the musical artist Lifeway Worship, you are going to find our content there. We have already experienced over 1 million streams, and we just launched recently. We would love for you to be a part of that. So if you're looking for great streaming music on your favorite streaming platforms, great Christian content, just look for Lifeway Worship, find our set list, and we think you're going to love what you hear.
Just kind of summarize, Brian, we're talking about transitions in ministry, those early, I tell Teresa, this is a phrase I've used through the years, I smell some sovereignty about this.
That's, I love that.
And I would say when I came to Lifeway, Brian, you know, I was one of a whole lot of names of people that were recommended for Lifeway. I didn't pursue this. Lifeway called me. Are you interested? But apparently other people had recommended me. And I remember early, before I knew anything about the job or anything else, Teresa and I were having dinner and talking about it. And it was like, I remember I smelled some sovereignty. It was something about it like, oh, this is different. This is, I don't know how we can, we're going to have to really process that. And that's the phrase I began to use with her and she would use back with me. Oh, and by the way, to pick up on one more thing you said, this is so important, that fleeing is dangerous. So if you're in that situation where you're like, I want to do anything else.
Yeah.
I want to go anywhere else. And you have this fleeing sense, like I want to get out of here. Boy, you are so prone to making a major mistake.
Any grass is greener. Any yard's greener.
I know. Yeah. And so if what a person out there listening to me right now is feeling is this sense of fleeing, my advice to you is to sit dead still until you have more than that to respond to. The fleeing instinct will take with you every wrong attitude that you've got now. It will follow you into your next ministry.
Absolutely.
And 6 months from now, you'll be learning some of the same lessons you're learning now. You'll just be in a different place with less of a support system around you because you'll be new. I'm not saying there's never a situation where you shouldn't flee. I mean, I can think of some examples when you should, but maybe that's a podcast we ought to do sometime. How do you know when you should run for it? But man, if that's all it is, if you're just fleeing something, but that's not what's happened here. You felt called to something, and you felt a draw to it. So we've talked about your wife's part of that. We've talked about that sense of stirring in your heart. Now, as you leave a ministry, talk just a few minutes about how you leave well. What do you do at the end of a ministry that is a great way to leave it? Well, how do you leave a ministry well?
You know, that pastor relationship is so important. And so early on in this process, when an opportunity came, when I thought this might be something, I wanted Jay to be one of the first people to know.
Yeah, your pastor.
And in every church situation, that doesn't work. Like for some guys, if they know if they have
get
that kind of
fired.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. And so that is more about him than anything. I knew I could trust him with that. And I knew
one of the
godliest men I knew would be praying for me.
Yeah.
And so
that's good.
That was huge. And for him, he appreciated the forewarning.
Yeah.
Pastors, supervisors don't love to be surprised.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe for their birthday, but you know, I'm about to lose an employee.
And maybe not this.
Depending on which birthday it is.
Depending on how many,
And so he valued that put value into him that I would tell him that far ahead, even before it was a thing. And so what it does is it allows me to have a plan on how to leave well. So I'm going to work harder at the end of a season at a church than ever because I want to help pave the way for what's next and help that interim process get into place, speak value and affirm whoever's coming next, if that person, we already know who that is, even if it's an interim, like to whatever you can do to help things continue while you're, you know, after you're gone.
Yeah.
It's worth every effort in those last weeks.
That's so good, Cliff. And it's just a blessing to watch that happen at Station Hill these last few weeks, and just knowing those people and the friends that we have there. And I've had some interaction with your pastor, and you have done it well. His heart is warm and tender. He doesn't feel betrayed. He doesn't feel like you're leaving him. He feels like you're following God, and he's cheering for you all the way. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like that. It's not a beauty contest. We're not trying to win American Idol here. You know, we've got to have a little more perspective than that. I want to warn our friends out there, Brian. You've probably seen this before. Sometimes when you leave a church, even if it's under the best of circumstances, where it's obvious that God's done something, but sometimes a church will have people in them that will think those moments are the moments to come forward and begin to draw lines of allegiance, and maybe even come and with a criticism of the church that you're leaving, and maybe this is the time. Well, I knew when we didn't build that building that we needed, you know, that you would be. It can go negative, and it's not because people are necessarily just trying to be negative. It's just human nature. Sometimes human beings think they are endearing themselves to us if they express sympathy for us with what we've had to deal with. And I would tell anybody out there, even if you're leaving a situation, which Cliff is not in this situation, but even if you're leaving a church that has had some struggles, and maybe there are some issues and things that are going on, and God's led you to a new ministry, that is not the time to make your points and to win your arguments and to posture yourself in any way. You need to protect the leadership and the pastor of that church all the way out the door, and not take that occasion, now that you're leaving, to air out all the laundry of what you've wanted to say and you didn't say. I hope people will have some wisdom about that.
Absolutely. Well, I think that, you know, based on what they've experienced in the past, they just assume that there has to be a reason.
Yeah.
That's negative.
Yeah.
You know,
that
is why you even look to leave in the first place. And so, it's a good teaching opportunity to say, you know, this is a God thing, and I love this church and love you, and I'd stay here forever if God would let me.
Yep.
But he's calling us.
You know, I couldn't help but have a picture in my head when you were talking about you wanted to work harder than ever in the last few weeks as you were leaving that ministry, heading to the next one. I got the picture, an illustration in my head of a relay race. And the importance of handing that baton. It doesn't matter how fast you ran or how well you ran all the way around the track if you drop the handoff. If you don't give it to him in time and he's ran too far, he crosses a certain line, anyone knows track and field, and you're disqualified from the race.
Yeah.
That handoff is critical. If you don't get that right, then the rest of the race is lost. And we each have a leg to run. God has called you to Station Hill to run that leg of the race, but he's got someone else. He's got someone who's going to run the next leg, and you've got to hand it off, and you need to be sprinting as fast as you can, and you need to be careful with that handoff. And that same thing is true for the congregation. They play a role in that, in making sure that that handoff goes smoothly. What we're dealing with here is the gospel of Jesus Christ and people's opportunity to be eternally saved, and we can't let pettiness and rumor and innuendo and laziness and selfishness or greed or any sort of a career progression that we're after or ladder climbing, none of that can get in the way of the gospel of
Jesus
Christ. See,
Brian's starting to preach now. Do you notice how his voice, when he starts preaching, he gets higher and he starts waving his arms.
See, now mom's going to call me to preach again.
Exactly. He's ready to give the invitation right then.
But it's great to talk about finishing the extra effort required at that handoff moment.
Absolutely.
When you're just sprinting, you're doing your deal, it really doesn't require the kind of focus it does at the critical moment of
handoff. Well, and I would say another thing, too, that I think human nature, when we feel like we might be causing someone to feel disappointment, sometimes relationally we'll just kind of be a little more absent, a little more distant. We'll kind of pull back.
We
don't really want to be around these people that we feel like we are disappointing. And I would tell anyone out there, on your way out the door, fight that. Be real present in those final moments, those final Sundays. Be intentional relationally. Be the person you've been all along. but finish that season really, really well relationally. And man, if I knew someone in my ministry that I had worked closely with, or maybe on the staff, and was struggling with a decision like this that I had made, I'd be in their office or I'd be at Starbucks with them saying, let's talk through this. It's important to me that you have a full context of what's happening here. And here's the other thing I would tell anyone, and Cliff, I'll say this to you as you think about the people there at Station Hill that you love so much. You've been there in this incredible growth time for the church and all the ministry partnerships. Y'all have done some amazing things together.
And, amen.
But the things I would say is God works circumspectly. And him moving you to Woodstock, which we're all convinced, you're certainly convinced that God did that.
Yeah.
Well, he's not abandoning that great church down there in Thompson Station.
Not at
all. He's got something, believe it or not, that's going to be better for that church than you staying would have been.
Absolutely.
That's hard to imagine.
It's not to me.
but he's got something that he's doing on that side of it. And if you had ignored his leadership in your life, you actually would be hurting both churches.
Yeah.
So, and as a matter of fact, and if you stayed, you'd be hurting that church. You'd actually be delaying or denying something that God was in for them. So helping people see that 360-degree aspect of how God moves. He's not going to bless one church and hurt the other.
Yeah.
You know, he's working both ends of that because he loves them all the same.
Great perspective.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've got a question in my head that I think our listeners may have.
Ask it, Brian.
And it's not necessarily about ministry
again,
transitions. There will be no altar call. There might be an offering.
All right.
But is Cliff Duren going to keep arranging for churches and choirs? Is Cliff Duren going to keep orchestrating? We're going to keep having anthems and choral collections. I mean, I can hear some people listening to this podcast going, Cliff, I'm glad you're leaving Nashville and going to North Atlanta, but we got some music that my choir needs. Are you still going to be doing that? So what about that part
actually,
of your life?
Brian, you probably should be asking me that question.
I probably should.
It's really up to you guys. Yeah,
that's a good point. But talk about that. Is that still something you plan on doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's that comes with a backing from First Woodstock.
Sure.
I'm so grateful. And they were good to me in that same way, you know, the first time we were there and really helped, gave me a platform to do more.
Well, and through the years, you've done projects with First Woodstock through the years.
Yeah.
You've helped them at Christmas time and different things.
Absolutely.
I think what First Woodstock is going to go is, man, this guy's gotten better. I mean, he's still... No, we're excited about Cliff being Cliff. I mean, and that's, you know what? And that's one of the ways God moves us, is he puts us in those places where we can be ourselves and use the gifts he's given us. And Cliff's creativity as a writer and arranger and orchestrator won't stop at the Tennessee line when he crosses over there on his way down to Atlanta.
That's good.
And we'll be excited about it. As a matter of fact, God will take even that to new places because you'll be in a new context. All right, so here's my question. We talked about leaving well. So in your mind, now in the early days of your new ministry at First Woodstock, what does starting well look like to you? What are the important things to do in these early days to start well?
And that's a great question. I think the biggest thing, you know, in this setting, I'm walking into a music staff, and some people I know, some people I don't. So immediately pouring into them, building relationships with them, and you know, doing your homework ahead of time is always helpful. Like to know, man, what are these people excited about? What drives them in their ministry? And so, building those relationships is huge. But you know, coming in the summertime, a lot of ministries, that's kind of where things, you know, are not as busy as they normally are. And so, we'll work extra hard this summer to build relationships with the people serving in that ministry. I want to get to know them. Something we did at Station Hill, we'd give an invite for, you know, families, choir members and spouses to come hanging out at our house, you know, like 20 people at a time. We called it How You Durin, which is pretty
nice.
So
speaking of writing,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Something tells me that April didn't have much to do with that.
No,
that might have
she wasn't. That's where we haven't been in agreement, was on naming
or
that.
Maybe Mac came up with that. I don't know who came up with that.
So,
hey, you know what? That's interesting, Cliff. When Teresa and I, our last church, we did a Harlan Home Fellowships is what we called them. And over the summer, over about a 10 or 12 week period of time, every Sunday night, we would invite I think it was 20. I think 20 was the number because our house, we couldn't have everybody there at once.
Yeah.
And people would sign up for Sunday night, and we would do a fellowship at Sunday night in our church all through the summer. That's just a great thing to do, and we did the same thing. So we should have called it How You Durin'.
I like How You Durin' better than Harlan Fellowship.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool.
So yeah, just digging in. I mean, we've got some ground to cover, you know, and getting to know people, and so that's going to be a
really
fun summer.
One really big advantage that you've got in this particular situation is you're walking into a ministry you're thoroughly familiar with. Mm-hmm. You know how First Woodstock has done what it's done for a long time. You're a big part of it. And so that's a huge advantage. If you were going into a church, if somebody's listening to this, and you're going into a church that you don't have that kind of history with, which is more likely, by the way, that you don't, you know, I always tell folks that are going into new ministry, start where they are. Don't go in there that first Sunday and unload your bag of tricks. Your skills, your philosophies, all of those are going to come out, and they're going to be integrated into the approach. But if you come in on the first Sunday, I'm here, and here's my shtick.
Yeah, because just you being there is enough change for the first Sunday. Like if every song is new and you know, everything looks different. Like, just the change of leader is enough at the beginning.
I think the first 3 or 4 months should just be every song of yours that they haven't sung yet. I think that's what...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got to build the Cliff Durin library there. Yeah.
Well, and talk a little bit. I mean, it's very important to be on the same page with your new pastor about that. So you went the other way when you came from Woodstock to Nashville. You were coming to a ministry that you didn't grow up in and that you didn't know everything about. So you've been on both sides of that, as Mike's talked about, and we have too. The importance of what Mike just said, there's enough change just with a new face and a new voice. A lot of guys out there, I've been in this position in ministry, Mike, I'm sure you have, maybe you have, Cliff, where you've been called in to change something, maybe a worship culture in the church, and the pastor's eager for change to happen, and maybe rapidly. So it's talk about the importance of being on the same page with your pastor, not just as you're leaving, but as you're coming to a place about how we're going to handle this transition.
Yeah, and at First Woodstock, changes in the air. You know, Johnny Hunt's been there 35 years.
Yeah.
Jeremy Morton's the new pastor.
Yeah, huge.
Scott, you know, asked to bring me on and us to transition together. You know, which just is such
powerful.
A blessing to serve with him during this time. And so, constant communication with getting to know him and what he's looking for. Jeremy's father was a minister of music for 35 years, Gary Morton. And so he comes with a lot of music experience, which
I
value.
Morton.
Yeah. So
he's a great man.
Lots of texts and calls and conversations to make sure, you know, we're hitting that target of what the goal is there.
Yeah. You know, Brian, this is not the case in this move, but I tell you what, I actually made that mistake once. I made the mistake of thinking I could go to the church and just by virtue of my skill set and my experience and whatever talent I thought I had.
They were so lucky to have
They were just lucky to have me. And I thought I could change the way that church worshiped, and I thought it would go real quickly.
Yeah.
And I learned the hard way that you have to start where people are. Mm, and you earn the right. You've got to make a lot of spiritual and leadership deposits before you can start writing any checks.
Absolutely.
And so the great news here, Cliff, is you've got an account already at First Woodstock. They
praise
know you,
the Lord,
they love you.
Sure.
And so you'll have a wonderful time. And you're not there to change per se. You're just there to keep that wonderful ministry moving forward and being what God wants it to be there.
And that alone is a huge blessing. I mean, Scott's just done a phenomenal job, just
awesome
coming
dude.
Off of 25 years. And so, to walk into a ministry he has built with the Lord's leadership is huge.
So, Cliff, we wish you the best. We're excited that you're there. We love you. We love Scott. We love Station Hill. We love
Amen.
Woodstock. We just love all you folks. And it's just it's a thrill for me to watch you move into this next season of your ministry. We're excited about what God's going to do there, excited about the songs that will be written, the new projects you'll be part of here at Lifeway and beyond, those other unnecessary companies that are out there.
And, that partners in ministry.
And we love those guys, too. We love them all. We're friends with everybody.
Yes.
They knew how friendly we are.
Co-opetition is what we call it.
Co-opetition.
Yeah.
That's exactly
it.
Right. But, man, so excited for you in April, and just
you,
can't wait to see.
Yeah.
And Braves tickets would be nice. So if you want
to see what we can do,
I think we need to come to Atlanta and go to a Braves game, Brother Amen. Brian.
It did move Cliff. North of town. So
exactly. That's... God bless you, Cliff.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Well, we'd love to hear from you ministry transition lessons you've learned. One of the things we love when you email us, worship@lifeway.com, and tell us your stories so that we can share those. You can also join us on the blog site, worshiplife.com, and interact with each other and share your ministry stories there. As always, when you do email us, worship@lifeway.com, let us know how we can pray for you. Maybe you're going through this time of transition right now. Let us know so we can pray for you specifically. We love to do that as a team. Also, join us on Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, whatever your favorite social media platform is. We want this conversation about worship ministry to continue, and we want you to be a part of it. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast. We'll be back together to talk about worship and music ministry again very soon.